The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you on Exploring the Word. And today is Passover. Now, Passover would follow God's call to Abraham, but they're still connected just like they are today. And today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Passover, but we're going to look at how what's going on in the world and how the Jewish people are being treated even today, even in America. And you say, this is a Bible study program. It is, and we'll share that with you and see if we can connect some dots. Alex, this is a different week. We usually are doing a book, but this week we've chosen to do some subject matter that we felt like needed to be done, that we've told people we would do. But today being Passover and all that's going on, I think it's appropriate for us to look at this, don't you?
Well, I really do, and thank you, Bert. It's great to be with you, and a privilege to have everybody listening. You know, yesterday we went over some facts about the Bible and how we know the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and today we're going to talk a little bit about Passover, and it does relate because, you know, coincidentally, as we're doing this program, all around the world there is news about anti-Semitism, which is hatred of the Jewish people. And so God, just as God delivered the Jewish people from Egypt, and Bert, you know the Bible predicted the 400-year captivity that they would go through. They went through Egyptian captivity, Babylonian captivity, but God delivered them as he always promised that he would. And it reminds me, let me just start out with a verse here, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. About the precious Jewish people through whom came our Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. But Deuteronomy 14:2, speaking of Israel, the line of Abraham, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession by land, by history, by divine calling, by the arrival of Jesus, by the fulfillment of prophecy." Bert, Israel and the Jewish people still are very treasured to the Lord, aren't they?
They really are, and we need to keep that in mind, and that's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so many reasons. And as we look at this and realize what God has done with the Jewish people, we should be thankful. We should look at this. Most of the writers were Jewish, just a few exceptions, possibility, and of the Bible that we have, our Messiah, Jewish, and Paul, writer, Luke, so much. If we took Luke and Paul out of the equation of the New Testament, we wouldn't have a lot of it left, And so Luke may have been a Gentile, but we appreciate what he did because he traveled with Paul, and that's where he developed this strategic information that he would share with us in the books he wrote. So, Alex, again, Passover, let's start with that and see why that is so special to the Jewish people. You've already alluded to it. They were in Egypt. But you remember how they got there? Something about some difficulty, about some droughts. And they were very hard up. And there was a man named Jacob who sent his sons down to Egypt to find help because he had heard they had food. And the only reason they had food is because of one of his sons that had gone down there before.
Exactly. You know, this is in Genesis 37 through 45 and also in Genesis 50. But, you know, it says that the Jewish people in Egypt grew stronger and stronger. And, of course, they were made to be slaves. They had to go through, as history says, hard servitude. And Moses went before Pharaoh at God's directive and said, "Let my people go." But let me just parenthetically insert something here that's, Bert, I think it's important in our history. Nowadays, we hear a lot about the term anti-Semitism. But in a way, that really softens what this kind of racism is Jew hatred. Really.
Yeah.
But in Germany, there was a man named Wilhelm Marr. And they're not for sure if he actually came up with the word anti-Semitism, but Marr was absolutely the first to globally popularize that word. And so he even, in Germany, started the Anti-Semites League. In other words, it was a club for people that hated the Jews, right? And here's the thing. Wilhelm Marr, who later would be very influential in the life of Adolf Hitler, he viewed to tolerate and be nice to the Jews was, he said, quote, lackadaisical. And he said that, you know, if they didn't hate and oppose the Jewish people, they would only grow stronger and multiply. And in fact, that was sort of the animosity of the Jews in ancient Egypt, that, you know, Joseph had saved Egypt and much of the world through the famine and the drought, but the Jews did grow stronger. God was with them, because remember, God had promised Abraham, "I will make of you a great nation." And indeed, God did make of Israel a great nation. This is in Genesis 18:18, God told Abraham, "You'll become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." Genesis 18:18. But Passover, which is, as you said today, this was during that tenth, final, and most severe plague, wasn't it, Bert?
The
blood was on the doorpost of the house, and the death angel would pass over. Highly significant.
It really is. And when you read Exodus 12, you see some specifics that the children of Israel were supposed to do. It was a lamb without spot, without blemish. Let me see. I think that might be referring to someone who would die in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to observe it. Like Jesus was observed, he said, "I haven't done anything in secret. You've seen me do it, and what do you have against me?" And they were, if there wasn't any enough, they were to invite their neighbors, and they were to be in this house in a safe place. As you said, the blood applied to the lintel and the doorpost, so that when this happened, it says in Exodus 12:23. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Again, listen to these words. You must have the blood applied. And so Jesus Christ, again, showing that, demonstrating that his blood, we're washed in his blood. There's songs about that. There's groups of people that want to take away that, and no, the blood washes away. Now, in the Old Testament, Alex, it's called the Day of Atonement. It means a covering. It was a covering. The sins were covered until the blood of Jesus would be shed on the cross, and his blood does what? Cleanses us from all sin. It's not just a covering anymore. It's a cleansing. And so when you put these together, you see that this Passover, this is a very special day for the Jewish people, but it's also a special day for believers. And Alex, we find out that had something to do with Jesus on the cross. Because of all the things that were gathered. They were gathered there with all the people. And then Pentecost, 50 days later, all the people from many languages, they were there when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. And It was demonstrated in power, and they would go back into their places carrying the good news of Jesus Christ, death and burial and resurrection. Listen, the Passover has a lot to do with what the church and how it was birthed that today that we follow Christ.
Exactly. And, you know, as a Christian, and Bert, I just think it's the most beautiful story. I think it's the most complete story, how, you know, the lamb was slain, the blood on the doorposts, and death would pass over. People were to be in the house, covered by the blood, protected by the blood. And, you know, I, of course, you know, as a born-again Christian and, you know, led by the Holy Spirit and believing what the Bible says, it does make perfect sense. But Jesus, like John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, the final Lamb. After what Christ did at Passover on Calvary's cross, his blood was shed not as a temporary covering of sin, but as a permanent eradication of sin. There would never be another need for another sacrifice. Jesus, the final Lamb, and the death angel, what death are you spared from? Well, the death of judgment and separation from God. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, God had told Adam and Eve about if they were to sin, if they were to disobey God, in the day that you eat thereof, you will die. Literally, the language means in dying, you will die. See, physical death in a state of spiritual lostness means everlasting separation from God. Yeah. Now, in John 14:26, Jesus, he was on his way to the cross, and he said, John 14:2-6, but he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. See, when you become a believer and the blood of Christ is covering you, your sins are washed away, death will pass over you. You are in the house. You're in the Father's house, in the many mansions, the many rooms of the Father's house. Bert, look, I love the Jewish people. I love the nation of Israel. To my knowledge, there's not an anti-Semitic cell in my body. But I will say, the people who truly celebrate Passover authentically are those who know that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah.
Amen.
Because the blood of the Lamb protectively, redeemingly covers us, doesn't it?
It does. One of my very best friends, friend to this day, a friend of mine and Jan, a couple, he's a Jewish believer. And what a difference Christ, as he came to know Jesus as Messiah. He is. Made all the difference in the world. Now, I want to refer back. We're close to closing out the first segment. So I want to get this about the Passover. And you're talking about all those that were in the house. Listen to this in Exodus 12:29 and then 30. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all of his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house there that was not dead. But listen to verse 35. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. Verse 36, and the Lord had given the people favor. Listen, make sure you're in Jesus Christ. He is the one and only way to heaven, and you need to follow him. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. I want to be in the light as you're in the light.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here, so honored that you're listening. Hey, I want to give the number because later on in the program we will take phone calls. You can ask a Bible question. And we're kind of this week going over some important worldview topics today, obviously talking about the Jewish people and Passover, and as a corollary, speaking against animosity and racism against the Jewish people. But the number, if you have a question, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Bert, I've got to ask you, and this is kind of coming out of left field, did you ever see the play Fiddler on the Roof?
I did. It's one of my favorite movies. Now, I'm not a musical guy, but yeah. I love the movie, and I love the play Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, amen. I do too, and we did it at my high school when I was in about, I don't know, 10th or 11th grade. But, you know, I don't know if a play like that would get made right now, and I'm not a musical person either. I don't generally like, you know, Broadway shows or something like that. I mean, I understand it's, you know, very creative, but it's just not my thing. But Tevye, the main character, you know, famously he sang... you know, God who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? You remember that?
I do.
But, you know, one of his daughters, you know, they as Orthodox Jews, one of his daughters was going to marry a Christian in the play. And he was, you know, should he love his daughter and his new son-in-law? He was saying, well, on the one hand, but on the other hand, on the one hand. And then finally, Tevye has this moment of realization. He says, there is no other hand. In other words, the right thing to do is to love his daughter and the son-in-law that he brings into the family. And he, you know, when they get married, he says, and God be with you. Now, what am I saying here? When it comes to respect and love for all human beings, there is but one hand that we are to love our neighbor. When it comes to, as a Christian, support of the nation of Israel, love of the Jewish people, categorically standing against hatred and violence and racism. You know, oh my goodness, in Britain, you know, and American university campuses, people chanting, you know, death to Israel, death to America, God forbid. Like Tevye, look, there is no one hand or the other hand. There is no other hand. If you love God and country, you have to stand for truth, even if standing for truth takes courage. We have to speak against hatred of the Jewish people. And Bert, anti-Semitism, I think in the way we vote, We cannot vote for leaders that don't stand with the Jewish people, as all of us should.
Amen, Alex. And there are several reasons why America has had the blessings of God. We haven't been perfect, but what a great thing it was in the Constitution. They gave us the ability to correct those things that we saw later on. That's wrong. And it's great to have that Constitution. It says we the people. But I want to just share with you two things I know that made America great and we need to still is we have been a place where the Jewish people were free and safe and could prosper. And then when Israel became that nation in 1948, the support, especially Harry Truman, because of what his mother had taught him as a young boy, and knowing the truth of the Word of God and recognizing them, protecting them, being their friend. The other is missions. Another reason I think America is standing, even in all the corruptness that is going on, is we've been missional nation. The churches in America have been missional, carrying the Word of God around the world. And those are standing. Those are our pillars that I think that is very important to show the prosperity of America. Now, Alex, I want to do one thing, and this is a little different, but I want to give it to you. You know, when Jesus was, and we talked about the Passover, how it's connected to the crucifixion, the resurrection, but it also, we find out that Jesus was arrested by the Jewish people, brought to the Romans, And then Pilate found no fault with him. And then he says, you're going to release Barabbas. They did. And in chapter 27 of Matthew, then Pilate said, what then shall I do with Jesus? And they cried out, crucify him, let him be crucified. And Pilate, verse 24, saw that he could not prevail against them. He says, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Now, he wasn't innocent. He could have stood still or stood up, but he didn't. But notice what the people answered in verse 25. And all the people answered and said, let his blood be on us and all our children. Now, again, not anti-Semitic at all, but again, the Jewish people not recognizing Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him as a whole. Yet you had some that did, and the early church was Jewish. But we find out that God has a purpose for those people, even though they said, let his blood be upon us. And people have tried to destroy the Jewish people since that day, Alex, and even before that. And yet they have maintained their identity. They got a nation with land and borders that they have. And so God has a purpose for them. Even though they said, let his blood be upon us and our children, God, even after they said that, had a purpose for them. That is something more than the Jewish people that we're looking at. We're looking at God's promise and love to people, Jewish people, but also in our day to the church. So what's happening, we're finding out the Jewish people are being ready to be really having it hard. And if something doesn't change, the church, which has by and large, especially World War II and so forth, stood for them, again, being looked at and trying to be brought under tyranny. We're living in difficult days, aren't we?
Well, we really are. And, you know, as I've said many times, I mean, the inexplicable hatred against the Jewish people just throughout history. I mean, wave after wave from, you know, under Pharaoh in Egypt and Haman in the book of Esther. We just recently taught through that. Listen, Herod's attempt to kill the baby Jesus and to what historians call the slaughter of the innocents, all the Jewish male babies 2 years and under. Look, the devil has been behind all of this, and I've said it many times, Bert, that even Mark Twain, who was certainly no friend of Christianity, but he said the inexplicable anti-Semitism makes him believe in some supernatural realm. You know, and this was even before Israel was reconstituted as a nation. Now, let me read a scripture here. In Revelation 12, 1 through 5, talks about this great wonder in heaven. And it speaks of this woman being with child, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. Well, scholars recognize this is Israel, the woman, and the man-child, verse 5, is Jesus. And in verse 3, and this speaks about, Bert, at the time of Christ, in the invisible realm, there was a spiritual warfare going on. And I think there's all around us spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, and the prince of the power of the air. Satan is very busy these days. But Revelation 12, 3 and 4, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. This is Satan. And his tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. So this gets back, not to get us off track, but this gets back to Isaiah 14 and elsewhere in the Bible about the fall of Lucifer, the dragon. 1/3 of the angels that fell with him that are now demons, okay, and they stood before Israel, the woman who was delivering a baby, to devour or literally eat up the child as soon as it was born. Verse 5 of Revelation 12, she, Israel, brought forth a man-child, a male baby, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne, protected. Now, Bert, I've got to say this. I don't really think you can understand world history or modern history, and you certainly can't understand salvation history unless you understand the history of the call of Abraham, the land of Israel, the Jewish people, the spiritual warfare, the arrival of Messiah, Jesus, the virgin birth, the flight to Egypt, the protection of Jesus so that he, our passion lamb, our Passover lamb, would go to the altar called Calvary's cross to shed his blood for our redemption. Bert, if you don't understand biblical, Jewish, and salvation history, I don't even think you can really comprehend where the world is right now.
I would agree, Alex, and even take it over into the New Testament with the Apostle Paul, you know, going over and hearing the Macedonia call, and that was it to Europe, where the gospel and the message would explode to, and thousands respond and even come to America, the pilgrims come in for that purpose. One more thing I want to share as we come, we'll take calls. And by the way, that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, you can call now and Richard will line you up. And Alex and I want to talk with you, especially with your Bible questions that you might have. But what do we do in the meantime? We do stand with Israel, but I want to remind us of what Paul said in writing to the Romans. Because when you read in Romans chapter 10 and 11, you find out God's purpose for the nation and the people of Israel is not finished, even though the church has been birthed. But listen to his prayer for them, Alex, and I love this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, Alex, that's what we're about. We're about Gentiles being saved. And we're also about the Jewish people being saved. And it really goes back to what God called Abraham out. And again, I want to read that and remind it, because this is where we started and what he said. Now listen to this. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And listen to this. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What were they chosen? They were chosen to be missional in the purpose that God had called them. They were God's what? Chosen people to let the world know that God cares and loves for them and has a purpose. Because Christianity, and you said it, is the only, quote, world religion that gives us our origin, our purpose, and our destiny. And when you look at the Bible and all those things you said about how God has purposely called Abraham out, how he was with him, how the nations developed under Jacob and in Egypt and coming out at the Passover and all through the nation, you see that in the Bible. Our origin, God is our creator. Our purpose is to know him and share it with others, and our destiny is to be with him forever. And now the place is in heaven. And so, Alex, this is you're right. This is the whole message. And that's why being anti-Semitic is anti-biblical. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it is wrong. And it says here, those that curse Israel, they're going to be cursed. And so it is for the nations that would bless them and support them and help them. One more thing, and I'll throw it back to you. Those people that are saying death to Israel, death to America, they're kind of putting a curse. They are putting a curse upon themselves, Alex.
They really are. They really are. And let me encourage people to read Romans. Probably my favorite book of the New Testament, the book of Romans 11, 1-8, where Paul says, you know, God has not rejected his people. Now look, every individual personally needs to put their faith in Jesus and be born again. Nobody is saved on anybody else's coattails. Everyone must be born again. But in terms of his prophetic plans for Israel, gathering the people back to the land, restoring the nation of Israel, and yes, one day the Jewish people will occupy their land in a state of belief and relationship with Messiah, Romans 11, 1 through 8. Bert, often I say the gospel of Romans, which I suppose you could say that, really.
You can. Amen.
But let me just say this quickly. I'm going to quote an atheist, Christopher Hitchens, who was an atheist. I hope he came to Christ. I'm not sure if he did or didn't. I knew him. We emailed right up into the time of his passing. And it's funny. Hitchens was an atheist, but he was very pro-Israel. And he was pro-life as well. I mean, he was very rational when he wanted to be. I pray to the Lord that he came to Christ. But he said this, anti-Semitism, and I quote Hitchens said, anti-Semitism is the godfather of racism, the gateway to tyranny and fascism and war. Anti-Semitism should be something that every human and certainly every Christian stands against, is what he said. And he said that our task as Americans who believe in the rights of all people made in the image of God is to call out this plague, he said, make unceasing resistance to it. And when the terrorists and liberals fault us for being pro-Israel, Hitchens said, that's really a compliment.
Listen, we stand with God, so therefore we stand for the Jewish people, because God has a plan for them as well. 888-589-8840. Call us with your Bible question.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Colossians 1:13.
American Family Radio.
Everybody's been down, hit the bottom, hit the ground. Ooh, you're not alone. Just take a breath, don't forget, hang on to his promises. He wants you to know you're an overcomer.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Bert and Alex, and it's phone time. We want to take your phone calls, and we've got folks lined up to start, so we're not going to waste any time. We're going to go straight to the phone lines and go to Louisiana and talk to Craig. Craig, thank you for calling.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. I really appreciate all that you do. I was struggling or had a question. The new heavens, the new earth, is it two Jerusalems? Is it one big Jerusalem? Could you help me out? I know we touched on a little bit of Revelation, but that part of Revelation always had me a little, confused.
Okay.
I'm trying to match it up with Ezekiel and all that stuff. So,
thank you, Craig. Yeah. You better, let me tell you, when you're in Revelation, you're talking about John, who is looking at things. If you look at it, he is looking at things that's in the future, that he's trying to describe things that he's never seen before, and God demonstrates. And this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, you remember what Paul said, Alex? He said when he was lifted, he saw it indescribable. He could not even begin to describe it. And here's John doing his best to describe it. And I think he does a great, great job. But I think it's even better than John could make it. But it's New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's just fascinating. I'll tell you something that's really fascinating is that in Revelation 21, 16 and following, especially like verse 19 and following, it talks about the stones that are the foundations. You know, down here on earth, we pour concrete and use cinder blocks. But up there in heaven, the New Jerusalem has foundation stones like jewels and sapphires and emeralds. I mean, it's just beautiful. And what's so amazing, Bert, is, and earlier in the show I talked about how the gospel story is such a complete story, but these stones very much correspond to the stones on the high priest's garment over his heart for the 12 tribes of Israel. But I would encourage people, especially Revelation 21:10, talks about the New Jerusalem is, quote, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, this corresponds to Ezekiel 48:30-35 in the Old Testament. But Bert, there is the earthly Jerusalem, the truly eternal city, Jerusalem, which is God's city. But there's coming down a heavenly Jerusalem as well of nearly infinite size, where we'll be able to be with God forever. I personally think the redeemed of the Lord will get to enjoy the whole universe, but we will go to the redeemed planet Earth. We'll be in God's city, the New Jerusalem as well. But no matter where we are, we'll be, yes, with the redeemed of the Lord throughout the ages, but we will be with God Himself forever and ever.
Amen.
It is beyond description, isn't it?
It really is. And Craig, I understand why you would look at that and say, how, what? I remember when you're looking at the size, it's a perfect cube. And someone said, okay, it would reach from the East Coast, the Atlantic Ocean, if it's America, and reach all the way to Denver. And it's that square plus upward, that size, a cube. There's plenty of room. And I love the little children's song. I do. And you can tell something about Bert Harper. I love those things. It's simple. Jesus, I heard you had a big house. And I just want to say, Craig, it's a big house, and there's plenty of room. And we're praying that those of you who are listening today, that you make sure this New Jerusalem is your destination. We have a destiny, and it's to know Christ. And when you know Christ, you've got a location that's waiting on you. Thank you, Craig. Let's go to South Carolina and talk to James. Thank you, James, for calling.
Hey, Bert. Great to hear from you. And Alex, appreciate you guys having me on the show today.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, man.
Yeah, great. Well, Alex, this is James from Dillon, South Carolina. You may recall my pastor, Jamie, here at First Baptist Dillon.
That's right. How is we love Jamie Arnett and First Baptist Dillon, and it was my great honor to speak there last fall. But that is a fantastic church. By the way, folks, if you're relocating to that part of the world and you need a good church home, First Baptist Dillon and Pastor Jamie. And not only is it a great church, I got to say, you guys have a phenomenal music program and one of the best praise bands you'll hear anywhere in America. But James, good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you so much, Alex, and we're so grateful for just that. We're blessed in Dillon, truly. Yeah, well, the reason for my call today is specifically, I think you and I, we see a lot of lack on eternal security, but there's still a lot of folks with a lot of questions, and a lot of it's due to misinformation, some just not informed. But nonetheless, there's a verse of Scripture that comes to my mind today as I was traveling home listening to you guys, and I think it's over in Matthew, maybe chapter 7, somewhere in there. But the Scripture says, the question was asked, who was going to make it to heaven, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. But the Scripture says, he that doeth the will of the Father. And that word in that Scripture, will, or you could take those two words, the will of the Father, could you possibly take that word will and break it open and kind of convey to those who are listening exactly what that will is and how we can be assured and reassured, and not only that, but just how the plan of salvation works as it pertains to the will of the Father.
Thank you, James. I'm going to make a statement, Alex, and let's do that because we got callers, and I'll give you time. The Father's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the Father's will. That is His desire, Alex. You can cut it any way you want to. God's not willing that any should perish. That is desire. And Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings, but you would not. Somebody's got to make a decision here, and the Father's will is for them to say yes to Him, isn't it?
Amen. The will of God is, or the will of God, the desire of God, God's intent, Okay, I'm going to give you two verses. John 6:29. This is the will of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. And then I want to give you one other scripture, 1 John 3:23. People say, you know, what do I need to be saved? Okay, 1 John 3:23. This is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something?
Amen.
So God says, whosoever will may come. It is God's desire that everybody be born again and be in heaven. Now, the one thing God is not going to do, he's not going to force anybody. He offers salvation, but we have to receive it and make it real by putting our trust, our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus.
Amen. That word believe, and you said it, Alex, means trust. It's a word that goes deep. It makes your mind, your will, and emotions. With your mind, you come to some understanding under the leadership of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. How can they hear without a preacher? They get the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit drives it home in conviction and understanding. And by that, you can say, I choose Christ. I pray you would today. If you never have and you're listening and you never trusted Christ, please do it today. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Julie. Julie, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. My question is with Easter. It's normally after Passover, but I noticed on my calendar this year that Passover is just now happening. Can you explain that?
Okay. Yeah, Easter changes according to the moon, doesn't it, Alex? It's something, you know, about the moon and its first and everything. And Passover, it's more consistent. Go ahead.
Yeah, generally, and this has gone on for centuries, Easter is observed as the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. And if the full moon falls on a Saturday, if there's a full moon on a Sunday, then the Easter is the next Sunday. Now, this year, Easter was comparatively early. You know, but very often Easter falls right at Passover, as it did, you know, 2,000 years ago. The, you know, that Passover. I mean, this is why Jesus is so just vividly clear about his messiahship, that he, the Lamb of God, was slain literally on Passover. But this year, Passover came later. And it's, you know, just the way that the details fell this year.
Yeah. So, Lisa, Julie, excuse me, hope that helps a lot. Let's go to Louisiana. No, we're going to Arkansas. I'm getting mixed up. We're going to Mike in Arkansas. Mike, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm very concerned about the wars that are going on, the all the violence, not only in Ukraine and Gaza, but at our own border, and people aren't completely aware, or they just don't care enough to try to get people to negotiate something with these leaders, especially the Israeli president, not to be so conflicting with, you know, countries like Iran and the Palestinians, but try to make out arrangements to work out negotiations of peace. Well, you know, why can't our leaders go over there and express the concern that we have for that instead of just giving money that's going to cause more people to die? That's my question.
Okay, Mike, let me just share with you. Negotiations, let me tell you, we President Carter has done it. Others have done it, and it always breaks down. And usually, and it, right now, it's Iran that is the one that's, you know, stirring the pot more than anything else. And listen, sometimes negotiations do not work, but the Bible says if you have that opportunity, you do with it. But negotiations need to take place between two parties who are willing to negotiate. And listen, I'm not so sure. Hamas, others, Iran, I'm not sure there's any negotiation there, Alex. I think it's got to be forced upon them, either through financial, which I believe they should, and otherwise, or otherwise they're just going to keep on doing what they've been doing.
Well, and let me just say this too, that whenever there have been Islamic leaders that stood with Israel, whether it be back in 1948, there was a Syrian man named Nadir who was, you know, very supportive of the rebirth of the state of Israel, and he was poisoned and killed. And then there was Anwar Sadat, an Egyptian that was at least somewhat pro-Israel, and he was assassinated. You've got to understand, and I realize that Americans don't like to believe this about people, but the Islamic countries surrounding Israel, that, you know, there have been peace deal after peace deal, and Israel would give up land for peace, and then invariably, I mean, it's just one of the guarantees of life that the Islamic countries will not keep up their deal with peace. Let me just say this very, very briefly, but there was an article that I read about 3 years ago where over the last, you know, several decades, America has given $5 billion to Palestinian nations to build desalination plants and make seawater drinkable, potable water. And there's no water plant, and many of the Palestinian children go thirsty. Where did the $5 billion go that we gave specifically for the building of a desalination plant? Well, it went to terrorism. And so, Bert, you can only make a contract when all of the parties are acting in good faith.
Yeah.
And I've been to Israel. I've listened to Islamic activist college students shout unspeakably horrid things about death to Israel. And, you know, we always want to believe the good about people, but you have to understand, and Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations, and he was in the Carter cabinet, but he says you have to understand Islam is a worldview that does not acknowledge Israel's right to exist or the Jewish people's common humanity. That's why the only way to bring peace to the Middle East is really through strength. And Ann Coulter said it, Christopher Hitchens said it, Ronald Reagan said it. Even Hitchens, who was an atheist, admitted to me, and he said it on radio, that the best way to change the Middle Eastern animus would be to convert the people to Christianity. And he wasn't even a Christian.
That,
isn't that something?
That is. There is going to be peace, but it's going to be through Jesus Christ in that area. The only way. He is coming back, and he is making all things right. Mike, I wish negotiations would work. I really do. But in this case, I don't think you can get it apart from a victory, and it will only last so long, even if they have a military victory. But remember what Hamas did. Was it October the 7th, Alex?
Yeah.
We don't need to forget. People start talking about what Israel's doing to Gaza. They need to remember what Hamas did to Israel. John, would love to have gotten to you. And Lisa from Kentucky, I know what you're saying. Be sure and listen tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the difference in men and women, Adam and Eve being real people. He made us male and female. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow, and we're going to have a special guest on tomorrow that we're going to hear from. Alex, I think it's going to be a great day tomorrow, brother.
Tomorrow will be a great day, folks. We hope you'll tune in. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Please tell somebody about American Family Radio, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.